You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 54.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by ShopMessage.me, an incredibly powerful Shopify app. Do you want to know the secret marketing channel that Fashion Nova, Pura Vida bracelets, and Movement watches use to drive millions in revenue? The answer is Facebook Messenger, and it's powered by ShopMessage, the leading conversational marketing platform. When I saw how much revenue Shopify brands were making on Messenger, I was blown away, so I had to meet ShopMessage's co-founder and CEO, Arjun. I even recorded a podcast, episode 20, Learn Why Facebook Messenger is the e-commerce channel for the next decade and how you can capitalize. I just love the value that his company brings to brands. You will acquire more customers. You'll create more delightful interactive conversations. And most importantly, you're going to build brand loyalty. Now, for listeners of E-Commerce Fastlane, ShopMessage is now offering a 30-day free trial and guarantees you'll see at least a 4x ROI on your first paid month, or they'll refund the difference. So go to shopmessage.me/Fastlane. That's shopmessage.me/Fastlane and start your 30-day free trial today. Hey there, Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. So today I'm chatting with Adi, who is the founder of a wildly popular Shopify app called Conversio. And they're like an ESP, which is an email service provider. And they're also a UGC. Lots of acronyms this morning here, but user-generated content. It's a kind of a solution all-in-one that's kind of been packaged up really slick, actually. And it really helps Shopify merchants to engage with their brand, with their customers, and really help build lifetime customer loyalty. So hi, Adi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me.
All right, so on a high level, let's talk about Conversio. What problem does it solve for Shopify store owners?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, as you mentioned, Conversio is a combination of two things that most merchants use separately, emails and kind of user-generated content, or which is, in most cases, just product reviews. And what Conversio ultimately does is Conversio kind of aims to help e-commerce brand grow with smarter, profitable, and more kind of or kinder email marketing. And the way we do that is we combine the kind of best practice email marketing automation, the stuff that we all know we should be doing, we combine that with kind of UGC tools to unlock new ways for those brands to use emails to engage their customers, nurture those relationships, and actually kind of, you know, build a brand that those customers absolutely love.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept to be able to put email and, but it does make sense to me, having email and user-generated content together into one solution. Being the position I'm at, I have access to a lot of brands and merchants, and doing an app audit, I always notice somewhat of a duct tape solution. I don't want to sound as a negative comment, but it happens where I'm like, okay, you have so many solutions, it's kind of slowing down your store a bit. Do you really need all of these different solutions? Are they talking to each other accordingly? So it sounds like what you've done now is say, hey, email is like, you know, a super important channel for the long-term growth of a brand. And so is the kind of trust and authority that comes with having user-generated content. So it's nice to see them all coming together into one solution.
Totally. I mean, I think, you know, for us, just the perspective here is like we are technical, we've got a technical team, right? I mean, we build software. And even on our side, kind of the marketing stack that we use, the different marketing solutions and apps, our stuff is duct taped together. I mean, I wish some of those things were kind of had better integrations or were more native or if possible, even within the same dashboard. Because ultimately, as soon as you have to connect to new things, and especially if that connection is more duct taped than kind of native integration, there's ultimately kind of gaps there, which either is kind of some kind of inaccuracy in data or just a gap in what you can do with those things. So that's definitely kind of our mentality in combining two very significant aspects in kind of email and UGC for, you know, kind of e-commerce brands.
So tell me a bit about you. I mean, I have your backstory because we've known each other for a few years, but let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey so far, kind of leading up to launching Conversio.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take listeners kind of too far back. I actually started dabbling in what I would call kind of projects, business kind of projects back in kind of end of kind of high school, and mostly made mistakes, almost kind of completely flunked my accounting degree at university. My dad wasn't quite happy with that. And interesting enough, like the good thing about all this, in my final year at university, I actually built the kind of the first product that eventually became, you know, WooThemes, and WooThemes became kind of WooCommerce. And that's probably the thing that I'm most well known for kind of online. So this is all the way back in kind of 2007, right? 2007, beginning of WooThemes, around about 2011, kind of WooCommerce came on the map. And what most people don't know about WooCommerce is it literally transformed our business. We launched WooCommerce at the time, and within a year, it became 90% of the business. And kind of you can see that subsequently once Automattic acquired WooCommerce in 2015, like WooThemes as a brand doesn't even exist anymore kind of today. It's exclusively kind of WooCommerce. So, but WooCommerce completely changed the business and really exposed me to kind of, you know, working with e-commerce brands. So when I left WooThemes as CEO, and I kind of sold my shares at the time in 2013, I kind of had a hankering for two things. I really wanted kind of monthly recurring revenue and wanted to try my hand at building software that can do that. And I had this experience within the e-commerce kind of ecosystem. And then it's kind of almost in a very serendipitous way, I literally stumbled onto an article titled kind of the missed marketing opportunity of email receipts, which sparked the idea of building Receiptful, which was the first version before we kind of rebranded to Conversio. And this is all the way back in about mid-2014. And we eventually launched kind of, you know, I launched Receiptful at the end of 2014 with just exactly that hypothesis. The first version of the product was literally just kind of an email receipt product that replaced your standard kind of Shopify WooCommerce receipts and allowed you to interject some form of kind of marketing messaging. And yeah, so that's 2014. And then we rebranded Conversio about two and a half years ago now, and just been kind of, you know, grinding away and evolving the product ever since.
So interesting how serendipity can fit into reading an article, learning about the power of a receipt, and then building a brand around doing receipts. It's pretty interesting how people's journeys unfold.
Totally. And the best part of that is, I mean, I think with most ideas these days, like the trick is always when you have a kind of idea that you think is good, the first thing you do is you check whether it exists, right? And rarely does it not exist, right? I mean, ideas are mostly dime a dozen. If it passes that test, you have to kind of always check whether the .com domain is available, right? You know, such is the nature of kind of any online business. So, but yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, we, as I said, read an article, realized that there wasn't something built like that, at least for kind of, you know, small to medium, you know, sized businesses. And yeah, just decided to kind of, you know, take a bit of a gamble and, you know, build the first version of the product.
So this is I'm trying to get the timeline correct here. So basically 2014, Receiptful, doing email receipts and stuff like that. It's obviously a very different focus of what Conversio is today. Can you kind of share, like, why, other than this article you read and kind of trying to get proof of concept, but why did you just start with email receipts as a starting point?
It seemed like such a simple idea. I think for me, like the one thing that most people, I think, assume and kind of almost, you know, misunderstand about me as an entrepreneur is I'm generally kind of a risk-averse person, and I only take kind of, you know, calculated risks. So in terms of kind of building software, what I know is it is not just a case of build it and they will come. And like with any idea that I kind of take on, I want to make sure that I can build something of value and something that will resonate with the kind of the audience to whom I'm hoping to sell it. And I think with Receiptful, the idea itself was just so simple. The first version of the product was easy to build. It didn't take us a lot of time to build it. So we could basically test our assumptions in a kind of a very quick way. And like we, as I said, there was definitely a gap there in the sense that there wasn't a tool available for the SMB market, yet we could point to the likes of Amazon and say, we know that when you order something on Amazon and they send you that receipt, they're telling you, hey, you know, AD, you ordered this thing, you may also like these three things, right? So we knew that if they were doing it, there had to be something there. And if we could at least almost proxy off of that and build a product, the initial product off of that, then we might be able to build something, you know, of value. And that kind of the ability to do something quickly, something small, something that wasn't going to cost a lot, as it played well into kind of my narrative of, you know, generally being risk averse and trying to take us as small steps possible to make progress.
You know, and I think there's merit in kind of niching down into something more specific. So obviously there was, you know, a gap in the market, and if Amazon, you know, obviously king of e-commerce had like awesome receipts and were able to re-engage people with, you know, related products and just a lot of recommendation things going on in that receipt. That was a great idea for you to build that for through the WooCommerce community and then into Shopify's community. And it kind of reminds me, I interviewed a woman a few weeks back from a solution called ReConvert, and they do something where they feel there was a gap in the thank you page. It's very basic. The thank you page converts over to the order notification page after an order is presented or created. And, you know, they found that there was a lot of need for to have more kind of trust signals, access to loyalty, related products. And, you know, it was just, it's so interesting that the whole user's experience of having a more customized thank you page after an order is created, because people tend to go back there more often to take a look what their tracking number is and just order status kind of updates. Sounds like you're doing the exact same thing early stage, you know, getting these receipts in order so that they look nicer than the text versions that Shopify is generating, and not to mention some of the widgets in certain areas that you're able to engage or re-engage back with people that have made purchases. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think if you consider when those new solutions, you know, become available to merchants, their customers are also seeing something new, right? So they're not seeing something that they're seeing in other interactions, whether it's emails or otherwise, right? I mean, I think, you know, to your point, I've not tried ReConvert. I know of them. But kind of two solutions that come to mind for me is when Wilio initially came out with the spinning wheel, like that was that was a novel thing, right? Hence why they, I would assume, had massive kind of growth initially. Today, like right. when I see someone, you know, give me a wheel spinner, I absolutely cringe, and I want to read the whole internet of this. But when it came out, it was novel. The other thing that I think is more sustainable is what kind of Recart have done with their Facebook Messenger stuff, right? And again, it's just a new kind of interaction that merchants can take to their own customers and say, here's a new way of engaging. A different way, and possibly different because we're early adopters, different to what you're seeing when you purchase from other brands. And I think there's definite kind of success, you know, in that, both in the short term, and if you do it well, you can, you know, probably kind of, you know, get that value in the longer term as well.
So there's Receiptful, we're 2014, you know, things have obviously, you've grown now with the Conversio rebrand in 2016. It's now, I mean, I guess I would call it an all-in-one kind of email marketing solution. I guess that'd be fair to call it that. You know, it is a very competitive space. I mean, there's lots of other, you know, players that are maybe more legacy and or have more brand awareness maybe potentially. Has that really been your experience, or like, or how are you trying to differentiate yourself? Because people have the opportunity to kind of look around inside the Shopify app store, kind of get some ideas of what's available. I'm just curious to see is how you're repositioning from Receiptful to Conversio and how that's kind of helping.
Yeah, so I think we've had a kind of interesting journey, right? That's had a couple of phases, and I think we're heading into we're at the cusp of a new phase at the moment. And to kind of summarize that, I think the first kind of part of our, you know, journey was focused on Receiptful, and we used all of that momentum with a very kind of innovative, novel kind of product that created a lot of value to build that initial traction, initial brand, initial trust with our customers, but also I think generally with any kind of peer person, whether it's a partner or a merchant within kind of the ecosystem, and especially the Shopify ecosystem, which is by far the biggest kind of, you know, at least e-commerce ecosystem within which we play. And as part of that kind of momentum, we always knew that we were going to have to kind of build out the product, that receipts weren't going to be it. And a part of that decision was we had made receipts free because we needed the traction. We needed to validate this thing could work. And we didn't want to start nickel diming someone and say, this version of receipts is free and you can artificially kind of, you know, pay for these additional kind of features, because we always knew that that was going to be hard to say or to draw that kind of line. So we embarked on this kind of journey of saying we have to evolve the receipts only product to be a fully fledged kind of, you know, email marketing kind of automation platform. And that was kind of, I think, our second kind of phase that coincides at least partly with the rebrand to Convergio. So taking away the literal kind of connotation to being receipts only. And that phase has mostly been a phase of playing catch up, right? I mean, when we started as Receiptful, the likes of kind of Klaviyo within the Shopify ecosystem, I think they were there for 3 odd years already, right? So they had a mature product. I mean, MailChimp was, 10 years old at the time. So there was definitely kind of legacy, and we were going up in that sense, going up against or competing against kind of big mature companies. And I think, you know, and this is at least kind of any software maker out there, or perhaps just any other business, kind of when you, I think the key is, and this is kind of a hindsight improvement for ourselves, is competing head to head, it rarely ends well for the underdog, right? Because the incumbent is the incumbent for a reason, right? And if you're doing kind of similar things and you're not differentiating, it's going to be very, very hard. So right. the third phase for us right now is to kind of, you know, shift the narrative and literally play to our strengths, which is around the ideas we have about using kind of combining email with UGC and helping kind of, you know, focus brands' attention on kind of building brands that are kinder to the customers, more engaging, kind of more longer lasting, and essentially double down on our values in that regard. So that's definitely kind of where we're at this stage. As I said, complete kind of, you know, almost a differing kind of, you know, focus and a shift in focus of how we will kind of, you know, evolve the product in the next 18 to 24 months.
Let's talk about the Convergio, I guess I'm going to say in quotation marks, the product. In the intro, you know, you kind of mentioned that I can't just be receipts. So we're going to iterate the product and improve the product. And, you know, and so now we're in email marketing and we're UGC together as one solution. So can you share some specifics about, you know, your product and the strength of the product and kind of where it is today?
Like ultimately, what we've done, Steve, is we, from an email perspective, I think we have mostly built all of the kind of the best practice things, features, tools evolved to actually kind of do automated email marketing, right? So, and that's our foundation. I mean, I think in that sense, like we believe email will continue to be for kind of the next 5-10 years, and especially as kind of, you know, social media and those networks, you know, seem to be a little wonky, but the fact of the matter is, like, you will always own your email list, right? I mean, no external kind of bad actor can influence that. And email itself is an open standard. So we believe that our kind of email marketing automation part of the product is still the foundation on which we build kind of all the other things, right? The reason we started adding kind of, you know, kind of UGC is primarily kind of thinking, you know, through it from the end customers kind of perspective here, right? So what we see often in terms of marketing solutions is many merchants might have 3, 4, maybe 5 different apps sending emails to customers. And what you're essentially getting there is you're possibly overwhelming customers, right? Because you can't sequence those things. You can't prevent kind of overlap or emails triggering at the same time necessarily because the data simply isn't consolidated. The emails probably look differently, you know, to each other. Kind of every email service provider has different limitations. So you lack that kind of visual consistency to keep someone engaged in your brand. And then lastly, kind of the end customer has to manage subscription preferences in kind of various places, which I think is a crappier experience, right? I mean, even if they were to email a customer, a kind of a merchant, say, hey, unsubscribe me from your emails, the question always then has to be like, well, which emails you want to unsubscribe from? Whereas when all those things are consolidated, and in Convergio, we've consolidated more of those things, right? It at least kind of creates a better customer experience, which in theory kind of means better customer experiences, means better customer kind of lifetime value.
Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking of a term, fragmented, because I think that happens quite often. I did mention about, you know, doing like app audits and trying to figure out why certain brands are running multiple instances of different solutions and they're not talking to each other. the user's experience is not consistent. And it reminds me of, you know, one, for example, I looked at recently, a brand, and, you know, they've got email, they've got push notifications, browser push notifications, they've got SMS for text message remarketing, they're using Facebook Messenger remarketing, they're also using retargeting these people on social media, all with five different solutions that don't necessarily completely talk to each other, even though they're powerful in their own right, and you can see the data. But you're right, I think some brands could potentially be overwhelming their customers with, you know, they have the right intention of being at the right place at the right time. You know, we don't really talk about a marketing funnel as much anymore. It's almost like it's a highway of like interconnected kind of customer's journey. And so brands are thinking, okay, well, I don't know where they are. They could be on a bus or commuting somewhere. And next thing you know, they're at work. And then next thing you know, they're somewhere else at home in the evening. And they're, you know, who knows where they show up in this funnel, but it's not really a funnel. Meanwhile, these different solutions are all firing and triggering and not knowing each other very well. So I guess that's the point that you were making with getting email and UGC packaged together.
Exactly. I mean, that's obviously just one part kind of that spectrum of interactions. And I think, you know, to your points, like not even kind of, you know, visualizing what the funnel looks like and all the touch points look like. But a flip side of that is if you look at the challenge of just marketing attribution in general, you'll probably find that when you use those five, you know, different solutions and kind of mediums to kind of speak to your customers, all five of them will likely claim some influence or credits for most of your sales, right? And
yeah.
It is, and it's not because it's not malicious and it's not inaccurate. It's just because we also don't really know. I mean, depending on how strong your data kind of, you know, analytics are, your measurements, whatever. But marketing attribution is a hard thing, right? So you could have five different things telling you, hey, you're spending $10 with that and we're making you $20. And you could look at those things in isolation and see, well, okay, the business seems generally okay. But that possibly is not the most accurate kind of, you know, answer, or that's not the most kind of, or the best question you should be asking, right? As I said, which is why we shift the narrative at least to think about the end consumer, the end customer, like the person on the other side of these interactions and how we can better shape experience for them.
So let's talk about tactics now, because I think we'd like to get some actionable insights for the show. So do you have any examples that maybe you can share off the top of your head about the use of your solution?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think when we start speaking about kind of using, you know, emails and UGC and the same solution, where we've seen the kind of the biggest traction, the best performance thus far is definitely with abandoned cart recovery. And the way I explain this to people is firstly say that abandoned cart recovery has been around for ages, and we all know the kind of best practices around it. And every single tool is clustered around those best practices, right? So whether you're using Conversio or any other kind of solution out there, the kind of the default best practices before and campaigns you were sending as merchant were probably similar, which means that, again, the end consumer now expects, you know, a 2 or 3 email sequence, you're going to get a discount coupon somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And initially, those things worked, and it still works to some extent today, but because customers expect it, it doesn't work as well as it used to. So what we've seen is, as soon as you start adding just a bit of kind of UGC into those emails, you start seeing kind of literally a rejuvenation in that kind of your abandoned cart recovery rate. And it can be as simple as just kind of adding an aggregate rating for the products that were abandoned. So Conversio does a few like additional things. Like we can literally pull in recent reviews, recent kind of, you know, customer submitted photos for the products that were abandoned in that kind of cart for that customer. So adding that layer of personalization and literally kind of doubling down on that sale. But as I said, even that, just that little bit of social proof, already you can see a bump in recovery rates. And listen to this and seems somewhat skeptical. The theory here is the same reason that we have included social proof on our websites for ages, right? We know that including social proof, including, you know, trust signals on, you know, during on-site experiences, so browsing website, going through checkouts, those kind of aid in your conversion rates. So in theory, they would do the exact same thing, you know, with an email. I just think that up until kind of, you know, recently, at least with Conversio and with other integrations, there hasn't been enough data about it. There hasn't been enough kind of experiments run about it. And it hasn't been easy enough to do it, frankly. But as I said, we're definitely seeing, and as I said, kind of abandoned cart recovery is definitely at the forefront of what we're thinking of how to use these things, and where we've kind of, in our merchants and our brands, have seen great results already.
Yeah, you know what? I subscribe to quite a few newsletters. You know, I manage quite a few brands, and I like to see what people are doing in different verticals and stuff. And I find that the bulk of merchants, even successful ones, are obviously leaving a lot of money on the table from, you know, what you're referring to as kind of social proof or these trust signals that maybe are available on the website. They're not being translated correctly through their email card abandonment sequence. So I have to give you kudos and credit for that, because I think you're onto something pretty significant here. There's, you know, it's proof that it's working on a website to help convert people. It's just part of a CRO conversion optimization strategy of, do we have the trust and authority? People don't know who you are, and how do you get that? And, you know, some of it are trust seals, offering free shipping, and there's lots of tactics that can be implemented. But it's, and you know, obviously reviews with photo or video, these all things are helping push the customer through the funnel correctly, so they actually can make a purchase and feel warm and fuzzy that they're making the best decision. You are spearheading something really unique, I think, because it's not being implemented significantly enough in the market from what I see.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, that's definitely what's the most hypey that I will be about Converjo kind of today. But that's definitely what we're thinking as well, is we have made, and I know that's, I mean, you alluded to it earlier, it is possible to duct tape some of these things together. Because we've done these things natively, we've made these things super easy, literally drag and drop kind of new things, kind of, you know, mechanisms to implement what I just mentioned for abandoned carts. So, and that's what we're seeing. Customers are doing it within a couple of minutes, tweaking what they have, and they're seeing bumps in their recovery rates.
I get the feeling that, you know, you speak a lot about trust and kindness and, you know, going to the Conversia website, I see the mission and showing all the team members. And it sounds like you're really adding quite a bit of a human content and context to what it is that you're building. Can you share specifics as to why you're doing that, and what's this all about?
Yeah. So I think there's two reasons ultimately, Steve. I think the first thing is, you mentioned the team. I think for us, we define the company and kind of our company and team as being life or family first. And I wouldn't go too, you know, into detail too much there, but that kind of the idea that we're building a company that's life and family first kind of definitely translates into the way that kind of we run our business, and we hope to kind of influence or help our kind of, you know, customers run their business as well. So that's where kind of a lot of the kindness, a lot of the trust kind of consideration comes from. The second part of this is, like, we believe that everything online and kind of e-commerce by proxy then will shift in the next kind of, you know, 3 to 5 years. And we're personally kind of taking a bet on these kind of, on that kind of shift. And the shift is, I think we're at the start of the shift, but we can point to a couple of things that we, trends that we're seeing kind of emerge already that will, I think, kind of accelerate this. So I think if I kind of, you know, quickly kind of draw out some of those things, like, we've seen so much fake news, you know, recently, right? I mean, fake news is, like, when my dad, who is beyond kind of, you know, he's 62, 63, when my dad starts speaking about fake news and understanding what this is, then you understand the extent thereof, right? And again, like, we're at the south kind of, you know, it's southernmost tip of Africa. So news travels kind of a long way to get here. And my dad knows fake news. So I don't think that kind of fakeness isn't going to slow down. And if you take that along with the kind of the privacy and data kind of issues we're seeing, at least. And I say these things issues because I believe we'll find a new normal. But with all those issues, I think people are conservative, they're cautious, and they're skeptical, right? And I think whatever brands do going forward, they need to kind of, you know, take that into consideration and make it easier for brands to, or for customers to trust their brand. So for me, that's the kind of the first thing. The other thing that I think is important here is, We're seeing kind of, you know, both Google AdWords and especially with Facebook ads in the last kind of 2 years, eyeballs are down, kind of, you know, ad costs are up, right? So I simply can't imagine having to build a business that purely relies on kind of constantly getting, you know, new customers into that top of the funnel. Like, if that's your business today and you have a low repeat kind of your purchase kind of rates, and you have no plans or no strategies in place to build a business that can nurture that customer lifetime value over a longer period of time, you will have fly-by-nights. You will have businesses that, you know, might make good money for a season, and then they will fade away. And then the last thing that I kind of mentioned is just that we're seeing software is, it's so easy to build software these days, and really good software is much easier to build than it ever was. So we're going to see a continuing kind of acceleration in terms of, you know, greater AI, whether it's chatbots, any kind of machine learning, all those things. And I think all of those things are, when it's not over-exaggerated and hyped, it's good. The reality of all of that is we're probably, some brands might lose that human connection they have with their customers. And we're at least betting that there is a group of customers, there is a type of customer out there that want to support a brand that is not just a bot, that is not just an automated email sequence, someone that still knows like they're speaking to another human being. So that's at least kind of, and that's where I said, and that comes back to kind of the ideas of the kindness, the trust, and how you truly build a brand that has those real mutually beneficial kind of relationships with your customers. That's, as I said, that's at least kind of the bet we're taking, and that's where we're steering the product for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, because I was thinking about, I was at a conference recently and speaking at it, and one of the conversations came up, or question was asked about Amazon and fighting Amazon and saying like, well, how do you differentiate your brand versus Amazon? The panel, including myself, brought up quite a few tactics. And one of them is, yeah, like build a human brand. I mean, it's, you know, have a loyalty program, actually have a mission, be real people behind the product. Where Amazon just really is more of a commodity company cranking through half of the e-commerce volume around the world. But it's just, you know, these direct-to-consumer brands that are out there now, they really are thinking for the long term. They have these, it's called like brand advocates or ambassadors. It truly is like a recipe for long-term success. Having a story to tell. Almost sharing that story to the world, you know, that you have unique product offerings, you have a mission. Like you always hear about, like, you know, social and environmentally friendly brands. Like, no wonder millennials, the largest cohort of people that, you know, with the most buying power, no wonder a lot of retail is closing down, legacy retail is closing, but retail is not down. Retail, bricks and mortar retail, is actually up. And it's up because you have new direct-to-consumer brands that have a mission behind them and have a human element behind them and have a social or environmental concept behind them. So people are actually putting, they're not just hoarding all the profits, and they're having a great product that's making a difference.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's you've summarized like our thoughts about this perfectly.
So we are nearing the end of the show, and this has been like honestly a great conversation. I'm so glad we're able to get this recorded. We probably could chit chat for another hour, but do you have any kind of closing comments or any kind of takeaways that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I would always say, Steve, like the two things that come to mind for me is like something that I would, and it sounds like generic advice, but the things that I would really want kind of, you know, entrepreneurs and brands and companies to, you know, to think about is to really think longer term. I think the idea of thinking as long term possible means you are likely going to do something that is resilient or even anti-fragile, right? So I think as long term possible. Like short term kind of growth hacks is probably not going to move the needle and is not going to result in long term success. And the other part thereof is like the thing, and again, I mentioned earlier, I'm an accountant by trade. Think about profitability. Like I think everyone thinks kind of revenue and growth and all these kind of, you know, fancy things, and they forget about profitability. And I think it's not, I don't say profitability in the money hungry way or the greedy way, right? I mean, I say that as a balance, like think about profitability after you've built a brand that your customers absolutely love. And you've done that in a kind of, in a kind, trustworthy, wholesome way. But then think about profitability, because revenue and revenue growth is a moot point when you're making a loss. Like it's great to kind of to sell $1 million worth of goods on Black Friday, but if your unit economics were off and you discounted by too much and you lost money, then it probably does not serve the kind of the purpose that you're after. And for me, that's the irony. I think most entrepreneurs at least start businesses because they want some element of freedom. And then they forsake all of that in favor of kind of, you know, vanity metrics, whereas profitability is probably the thing as at least part of the recipe to ultimately get to freedom. So those are the two things, like long-term and profitability.
Yeah, the good thing about that, the whole patience part of it, totally agree. I think there's really no such thing as an overnight success. If you actually knew the amount of work that was put into anybody or brand that was successful, they were definitely in it for the long haul. So totally in alignment of that. And same as the profitability side. I mean, I do talk to quite a few merchants and, you know, I ask some key questions about, you know, some KPIs and some marketing strategy and things that they're working on. And that's my mantra is like, you know, a data and then a strategy-driven approach to success. And it's just like, Do you know your data? Well, I have Google Analytics attached with e-commerce tracking turned on. Okay, that's great. But like, what are you doing about it? And like, you know, and it almost comes down to analysis paralysis, where they have so much to look at. They don't know what to change because there's so much data out there. And I think, you know, having this long-term vision towards the brand and looking at the data first and not and thinking about the profitability part of it and slowly growing over time and having this human connection and a mission behind it, I think is great recommendation. How can people learn more about getting involved with Conversio and trying it out?
For Shopify merchants, the easiest way is to just go to Shopify App Store. We rank pretty well for most things related to email, but you can search for Conversio and we will pop up there. That's conversion without the N, basically. Or you can just check us out on conversio.com as well. And like, if you really wanted to make my day, check out our YouTube channel where I share force myself to share a kind of weekly kind of, you know, sub 10 minute video, just kind of, you know, talking through some, you know, tactics, both relating to kind of your email marketing in general, brand building, but also kind of new stuff. I get into stuff like profitability and financial management as well. So that's personally the one that's going to give me the most kind of, you know, warm and fuzzies. Steve, do you want to share the special we have for listeners? Do you want to take credit for that?
For sure. Like, I know we definitely chatted before recording today. And first off, there's a 30-day free trial. So if you're currently not happy with your current solution or not using user-generated content or barely using an email service provider currently, then it's certainly worth to give Conversio a try. With a 30-day free trial, it's a no-brainer. There is a free migration that has been offered. So if you're on any email service provider and any user-generated content provider currently in Shopify, if you email AD directly, he'll be able to. Maybe you can give us the email. So is it ADII@conversio.com?
Yeah, ADII@conversio.com. So just anyone that wants to migrate, just ping me and say, hey, AD, I signed up for a trial. I need help. And then I'll personally kind of pull my best team members and we'll help with migration and we'll kind of get you started at least on some of the kind of the best practices that we have available for combining kind of emails and UGC right off the bat. I mean, something like the abandoned cart stuff that I mentioned, you know, we'll get anyone that is keen started right away.
Yeah, I like that. Good starting point. And then they can really see the value of the 30-day free trial by having some best practices kind of already pre-configured and ready to go. So I'll make sure I update the show notes with your YouTube channel and I'll update email addresses and social things and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, this is great. This is really awesome learnings for me. I'm hoping everyone listening today also got a lot of value out of the show. And thanks, AD, for coming on the show.
Thanks again for having me, Steve.
All right, take care. This episode is brought to you by ShopMessage, the marketing channel trusted by top Shopify brands like Fashion Nova, Pura Vida Bracelets, Movement Watches, and many more. Now don't forget, take advantage of their generous 30-day free trial by visiting shopmessage.me/Fastlane. That's shopmessage.me/Fastlane. You'll get priority onboarding and a 4x ROI guaranteed just for Fastlane listeners. So go check them out. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.